When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. This episode is brought to you by Visor. Do you manage your school district's Chromebooks? If you're tasked with keeping track of Chromebook repairs, loaners, swap outs, and warranties, you need Visor. Visor is a cloud-based Chromebook management solution designed specifically for school districts. Visor seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system, simplifying Chromebook one-to-one programs. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even remotely disable lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. To find out how Visor can help your school manage Chromebooks and to lock in 20% off, head over to visor.cloud/unboxed. That's visor.cloud/unboxed, or just click the link in the show notes. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
Hello.
He's on this side, so he gets introduced first. And Roberto.
I guess that's going to be it. I'm second.
Yeah.
All this time. Right. I would have moved months ago.
And we got
billing.
We got Paul and Dan, and we don't have the Andy cam, so I'm just going to snag a photo and we'll throw it in. There we go. Give a quick wave. We got an Andy cam over here helping us out today. It has been raining and gross here in Kentucky.
Yeah. I got a dog.
Picked a great time. It's been a week and a half.
You literally picked Thursday? The rainiest 2 weeks.
2 weeks ago Saturday or something.
It'll be 2 weeks ago Sunday. So 10 days ish, 10, 11 days, whatever.
It's still got that
I think
new
it's
dog.
It's rained
smell.
Every day.
I'm almost like, certain it has.
I've yet to take her out because she's a little corgi. She's a cutest little puppy ever.
She is.
And I fought getting a dog.
She's gonna come put her right oh,
man, I, for a couple
I,
years.
I, just that reminds me. I need fighting. To. I've got the one. We need to get a better photo of her on the couch. I've got the one, but it's like it's skewed weird because I just snapped it real quick.
Yeah.
But we need to get a photo of her sitting on the couch with the plush, our new Chrome pillows that Google sent us. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
I posted the Yeti mug that they sent us as well. But I need to get a photo of Honey.
Of Honey with them.
With
we
a
need
Yeti.
To do
Honey with
we
a
need
Yeti
to,
mug.
We need to do a Honey integration with Honey the extension with Honey the dog.
And
I think that's our ad that we do. Our ad spot on YouTube will be
just this cute dog.
Will be you just sitting there, you know, it'll be Honey just working on a Chromebook and buying this.
Be like Honey.
Big huge round paws.
Yeah. Be like Honey and use Honey. It's be so like, simple.
Be like Honey.
The corgi can do it.
Oh, dude. We're doing this. We're doing this, boys. This is happening.
Joe is not going to rest until they do something.
No. I'm gonna send them a photo of Honey and say, here's
dog's
Robbie's
name
dog's
he named name. It after your service.
Right. Like
not
this
true.
Dog
not
is
true.
Named
not true.
You have to
yeah,
you have to
the,
sponsor us.
What
just their color okay. And okay. It was my wife's. Yeah. She was like, I really like the name Honey, and I was like,
okay.
That's not a terrible name. She's like, well, we said that we were gonna let the kids name the dog. And it's like, yes, we did. So
that's right.
You either need to convince them or I mean we have vetoes here. Like I'm not gonna be like, hey, I wanna name it backgammon, like,
right?
No, that's no good,
right?
Or brick, or,
right?
You know, like
brick
dog.
Brick's yeah. Kind of a funny dog name. I kind of like that.
Brick.
Get over here, Brick.
Brick.
It's a good
yellow name.
Are you saying hey, brick or brick? Hey. What do you say,
Brick?
Yeah,
Brick.
Yeah.
Honey's good. You can yell it good. Butterscotch would have been good too.
Yeah. Butterscotch. Yeah. All right.
So yeah, the whole point that I brought the dog up, we've really already derailed.
Yeah.
Was it's raining again, and I have yet to take her out. She's a low rider, you know. She's a Corgi, so her belly is real close to the ground.
Yeah.
She's always wet.
Yeah.
Like constantly. Like, okay,
like that one day you went outside and you were talking to, what's his name? Todd? Steve? Mike?
The dude downstairs?
Yeah. Todd, Steve, or Mike?
Already forgot.
I think it's Todd. Todd,
you remembered my name. Yep. That's about how
that's
my life
the worst.
Goes.
Paul.
I think the day you walked out and talked with him was the only day it wasn't raining.
But it was still wet.
Yeah, it's just been gray. And so for you people,
even when it's not raining, it's just wet.
For you people that live in places like Seattle and stuff, kudos. I couldn't do it. There's no
I didn't want to get out of bed this morning, I'll tell you that. It's just one of those days. So we've got a few things to talk about today. We're gonna get our energy up.
We're gonna wrap up quick so I can go take a nap.
He jinxed us every time he says that we go for 2 hours. So
I mean, you're not a tree. Get up. I'll leave. I'll just walk out.
If somebody needs just stand up, stretch a little, some jumping jacks.
Can we make these wireless?
30 sure.
Make an attachment that makes them wireless.
Surely
when then we can move around the room.
I mean, they have that for like guitar, so surely they have
I have a
XLR
wireless receiver.
Yeah. Just need three of them.
Okay. Yep.
It has two transmitters and one receiver.
And so while you're talking,
we want
to
do
we need to do wireless.
Yeah,
you know, like monitors. So we need to set this up like we're live stage.
That's right.
Presence here,
and then we're just gonna
worth $1,000.
Bust out
and then we're just gonna
rendition a two step.
Yeah, and we're just gonna start a band at that point. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same.
So before,
what do you play, Andrew?
See, trombone, tuba.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'm a longtime tubist.
Uh-huh.
Tubist. However, I've played guitar longer than I played tuba now, so I feel like I can say I'm a guitarist now.
And then Gabe and I have percussion
locked down.
We're drummers. We're drummers.
I play hand percussion.
Yeah.
Robbie has very, very good rhythm.
Cajon.
Yeah. Cajon.
It's super fun.
What, the minor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We tried a bunch of them. My son was going to get into drums. I'm about to bring his.
Bring it over here.
Every once in a while, every time I think I'm going to bring those drums back. I'm like, I'm gonna bring it back and just like put them in the corner over here or something because it was so fun,
super fun having the electric drum.
So that Christmas, I was talking to somebody about that. I was like, I peaked Christmas that year.
Yeah,
we got him a drum set. We got them the MetaQuest 2.
That was
all that stuff was here.
That was a good. That was a good year for Christmas in our office.
Yeah, we played with it all.
I don't know, honey's been.
But every time I think about it, I'll hear him upstairs banging on the drum set. I'm like,
leave it around
with it. But I might bring the Cajon. He never plays the Cajon.
Cajon would be fun. We can do some jamming after hours. Yeah. So a couple quick things before we do.
The train.
Couple quick things before we dive into some news from the week. We've got a giveaway. If you're listening to this close to when this is published, you need to go enter our giveaway. We're giving away 5 Lenovo Chromebook Flex 5i's.
Get in.
And
right now.
It's going to end on Monday, December 12th. I think I put it at 10 a.m.
That's soon.
And so I'm
going to be able to ship them, get them to people.
Yep,
first.
We're going to get them shipped out, hopefully ASAP, as soon as everyone gets back to me. We'll probably do I've done like 48 or 72 hours. We'll probably do 48 hours to get to claim your entry. So make sure or claim your winning entry. So if you do get entered to win, you should 100% do it, and make sure to check your email that day and check your spam folder.
Yeah.
And for this one, because it's so timely, I'll probably even post on social media and say, hey, all winners have been contacted. Check it out.
Where do you email the
email that they provide when
where are you emailing them from? What email address should they?
Oh, Joe, Joe at
yeah.
Chrome
okay, Unbox. So Joe at Chrome Unbox, you should make sure
to put them on your favorites list.
Yeah, favorite. Send me an email.
Yeah, your phone
number. Give out your phone number.
Hey, go ahead and call me at 27.
We got three numbers.
Oh boy,
we'll leak the rest out of the course of this podcast.
It actually isn't. I leave it in my email. I probably need to take that out.
We have a phone number on our website.
We do have a Google Voice number. If you
can pester all three of us.
That's right.
We've got Google Assistant set up to really give you a hard time.
That's right. So go get entered to win. Really. Make sure you do that ASAP. If you're listening to this before December 12th, make sure to go get entered to win. Also, it's just that time of the year where a lot of deals are going out, and there's several great ones that have been going out the past couple weeks. So if you aren't Subscribe to our deals newsletter. You need to go do that. That's probably the best way to get notified for those. Yeah. Or just obviously check the site. You can go to the deals category on the site and check.
Yeah, so you can hit the three, the little hamburger menu, slide over, hit deals, and see the latest feed. But yeah, the newsletter, that newsletter has grown a lot. It's a lot of people get that for good reason. And it's a cool thing to be able to look down and see in your email, boom, there's a new deal available. Yeah. If I'm thinking about a Chromebook, or maybe I'm not, and I'm thinking about spending $200 or $300 on something, you know, we put a bunch of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, the Nest Hub, Gen 2 has been a great deal.
Yesterday, $40. I bought four of them.
I need to order mine. I forgot to do that.
Like, for $160 to get good gifts for adults. Like, I love being able to give a cool gift when somebody opens it. They're like, holy hell! Like,
yeah, people don't expect to get.
Yeah, you're expecting like socks, right? Or, you know, cookies or something, right. and I know my sister will never listen to this, so I can say this. I'll get like cookies or something, like brownies or some stuff.
Right.
She's gonna open up a Nest Hub,
right?
With a light bulb attached.
With a smart bulb.
I don't care that I paid $40 for it. It's
with
how much is that thing retail?
So $108 for the bundle.
So, and that's retail?
Yeah.
So is that $100? Is it $99?
The Nest Hub's $99 normally. Yeah. It's been $50 for the last month, but still. And it's weird because Walmart, this isn't the first time they had some exclusive. This isn't like they just took a bulb and a Nest Hub and put it in a box together. This is packaging branded for this. They did one with the Nest Mini at one point in time.
Yeah,
they did one with the Chromecast.
Those are all Walmart, weren't they?
Yeah, and Walmart seems to have these exclusive things that just pop up. I didn't buy it, and I'm kicking myself for it, but they had the Chromecast 4K with Stranger Things Funko Pop for $29, which is $10 cheaper than you can buy the 4K Chromecast, right? Actually, $20 now because it's not on sale anymore. Yeah. I went to buy them. I was going to buy them for everybody, and they were sold out. Or not sold out. It had gone back to regular price.
Yeah. So there's it's not just Chromebooks. So that's a good point. it's any and all cool Google stuff, Nest products, phones.
In the middle of these deals, and sometimes I'll go back and kick myself. Like, I've kind of decided I think I want to buy myself a pair of the Pixel Buds Pro. Like, we have our review pair, but I'm like, I'm ready to go and buy those. Like,
I want the black ones.
I do too. I think they would look good. And so I was like, I'm just going to do it. Went to go do it. They're back up.
Those
full
sales.
And now that I know, they're going to go back.
You know the deal's out there. Yeah.
That's what I was waiting. I had $100 store credit coming from Google, and I was waiting for that to show up so I could use it and get them for $50. And then it showed up, and the sale was over.
Yeah, I got my Stadia money back yesterday.
And those are...
So I'm like,
Hey, that's one thing we didn't write down that I think is worth talking about.
Stadia money.
Yeah.
Stadia money get
back. Those are going back to your card that you purchased with.
Supposedly.
How's that working? Because that card that I have is no longer...
I'll go ahead and tell you what I did. The minute they said they were going to start refunding stuff, I knew for sure the card was no good that I had.
I don't think mine is.
The old local bank we had, in the course of a year, I think I got three different debit cards because they're like, oh, it's been compromised. Here's another one.
Yep.
So, like, I know that debit card number is no good anymore. And somebody bought out our bank. So I was like, I need to clean this out. So I went straight to my payment methods at Google and got rid of everything that's old. And
Did you have 20 in there? I had eight.
I probably got a bunch.
I think I had 10.
Yeah.
Between
four
or five debit cards and company card and all that stuff. And so I narrowed it down to what I actually have and use. And I tried to do this before. And there were some ongoing subscription things that I have that I've got through the Play Store.
And
it's like, it's still on there. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't even use that anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it just took it a while for those to fall off or if they were having a problem last time I tried to do this. And so I left them all on there. And so I have gone and cleaned. I did that and made sure that was clean so that if I didn't get the email, at least when they went to go look at my account and try to give me my money back, they only had options.
Yeah.
I got the email originally on the games.
Mm-hmm.
So the games came through Stadia. And when I got that email, I did get the email that said, hey, your original payment method's not there anymore. Click this to fix it. And it allowed me to pick, my main debit card.
Check my email. I probably have that same email.
If you were a founder and bought the whole bundle through Stadia the Google Store, that's a different thing. That's the Google Store. That's not Stadia anymore. And so I wasn't sure how that would work. I happened to be looking for something else in my bank account yesterday, look at there.
Huh. Yeah. So what, just for anyone who isn't aware, what all are they refunding? What are you going to get a refund for?
I can tell you the, the amount, too.
Yeah, that
I
so got. It's everything except for Stadia Pro subscriptions. Okay. So in-app no purchases.
Games that you purchased.
Any games that you purchased, I believe in-app purchases.
I got those back almost immediately.
Yeah, those were done quickly. Then any hardware that you bought through the Google Store. If you bought stuff at Best Buy, I guess you're just out of luck there.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
Come on, get there.
And then for anybody who wants to check to see where in your Google Store account are you going to check to see the refund?
No, you're going to go to pay.google.com, and that's going to show you all your transaction history, and then under there you can look at your payment methods and you can remove any old cards or expired cards. But if they try to refund, they will try to refund whatever you purchased with. If they can't, same thing happened with me. My bank got bought out by another bank, and then it ended up getting bought out by a bank, which is actually local
and then
here.
Your bank got banked by a bank.
It got banked.
Right. And the bank.
It's worked out really well because now my bank is a local bank here in town, but that was like 7 debit cards ago. So I got an email that said, your Stadia refund's been issued, card ending, and whatever. Then about an hour later, I got another email that said, couldn't make transaction, click this to update your payment method. I updated to my current debit card, so I assumed the payment would go through pretty much instantaneously. I still haven't received the money. Yeah. But
so my amount, $136. I got $156.61.
You had to have bought something else.
I don't know. What else would I have bought from the Google Store?
I don't know.
With Stadia.
Have you bought another controller, like on a promo or something? Mm. I mean, you go to the store.google.com and look at your purchase history.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to tell people like, hey, you're going to get all this money back, and I'm lying.
I mean, my email told me. It said you're getting back 136 whatever.
Okay, and that's for
the Founders Edition. Yeah,
Founders Bundle.
Huh. So let's see. What have I bought for them? Let's see. Stadia. Oh, well. Ordered total. Okay, that was a freebie. So
yeah, I have a bunch of free. I was like, ooh, I'm getting all kinds of money back. I'm like, wait, I didn't pay
this
for like
And you're
free.
Checking this in the Google Store?
Yeah.
Store on Google. Pay. Yeah, okay. So now I'm looking at my Google Store stuff.
So there's my Founders Edition.
So my Founders is $146.26. So you said you're only going to get $130?
Interesting.
How much did yours?
That's in my Google Store, $146.26. That's still not the right amount.
What? What did you buy?
So the total is $136, and then that's tax.
But, what's it's
happening.
That's that. Click in. So all right, when you see it in the Google Store, click into it.
Was that this? That's that's that. Sorry.
Oh, that's a terrible.
One. So confused.
That's not a good UI. Yeah, there, Google. What's going on?
That's no good. That was the next thing down. My fault. So it's 136. So maybe I don't know what else.
Did it throw a game in there or what? I don't know.
Games were already refunded.
Robbie got some free money from Google.
That's weird.
That's super weird.
Everyone asks us if we work for Google. Robbie does now.
How much
Robbie has been paid by Google.
How much did you get?
136.
No, what'd you get back?
Oh, 156.61. It's just direct Google, like it's, you know, banking account thing, but like there's no other reason Google would have sent me $150.
That's weird.
Yeah. Strange. Anywho, point being, you should be getting a refund back for your games and for any hardware purchases.
In the store?
But if you go to pay.google.com, it will show your refund, I believe, because that shows you any transactions you've had.
Well, let me check that, because what would that have been for? Unless that was some other thing maybe I did with Google Wallet or something. It just happens to be, because I just saw Google and 150, and it's like, oh, that must be my Stadia money. Maybe I did get my Stadia money.
So yeah, just go to pay.google.com and it should
show you. No, I don't have my Stadia money. I'm a liar.
Wow. All of this.
Hold on. I remember
this
now.
This is Robbie, riveting content by Robbie.
This is
getting
how my
confused
brain works.
About payments.
Because I'm real tight with my budget and my checking account, clearly. I'm like, I write down every transaction.
Wired tight. Yeah. He has an old school journal.
Yeah,
that
this is the guy that opens
day.
His PayPal account. He's like, oh, man, I forgot that was in there.
Yeah.
I look through and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Try to keep up with every couple of days I look in my bank account just to make sure that it's going crazy.
Right.
That's back to how I run my finances.
This is why Robbie doesn't manage our finances.
Okay, so why is Google paying you $150?
You paid me $150 for your half of Topgolf.
Oh,
and I had like $6.
It's from Google Pay.
And so that's why Google paid me.
Robbie's creating false information.
Fake news.
Fake news.
I paid myself.
You're not going to get $150.
Fake. So
you're going to get $136.
That shows up from
you're
Google.
Probably going to get $136. Yeah. I don't even know if I got my email now.
Yeah, he's making up
Now I'm just gonna. I can be salty.
So the
like
email you
else
were referring to was that email?
No, I never said I got an email. I just saw it in my bank account. Yeah. I saw Google $150 and was like, hey, I got my stadium money back.
So Joanna said, I think she got hers yesterday.
Okay, and I need to look.
She had to update her information, and I think some of hers.
Yeah, the
going.
Original email I got was the Stadia one for my games and stuff, and it said it wasn't not the right.
No, like this one actually had a picture of the Founders Edition and everything. Okay. It said this is what you're getting back, and then it said update your payment. I'm just worried that it's going to go to my Google Play balance, and then I'm going to be very upset because I don't need $140.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, buy you some books.
But on the flip side of that, they didn't have to give anyone any money back.
Exactly.
Really
That is. I mean, obviously, we bought things for a service.
Look, my email.
Nice. And the service is no longer there. So it is nice.
You should
of them
get a follow up email if your card.
It says your refund was issued. Funds available up to 14 days pending. Yeah.
Does it just show the card number? The last four.
Oh, I put this on the Discover card, so it'll go back to
There you go.
So that one's still active.
There you go. Nice. So there you go. Check your check
that
your stuff.
That one's paid down, though, so I don't got a stupid negative balance.
I
got to go spend it now.
Uh-oh. Christmas
Ryan's
time.
Credit
score
is going to drop because he has a negative credit utilization.
You have spent negative money, sir.
Like we said, 0 to 30%, not negative 4%.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick.
We've unraveled.
We have
talked about nothing.
Rather than this has been useful information.
It is,
people
absolutely.
Getting their refunds.
We've figured some things out.
We're gonna take a quick break now before we dig into the next thing, which I think we'll dive into some Pixel Fold news. So we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back for that. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord. N-O-R-D. This episode is brought to you by Visor. Do you manage your school district's Chromebooks? If you're tasked with keeping track of Chromebook repairs, loaners, swap outs, and warranties, you need Visor. Visor is a cloud-based Chromebook management solution designed specifically for school districts. Visor seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and your student information system, simplifying Chromebook one-to-one programs. With Visor, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and even remotely disable lost or stolen devices while notifying parents, all in one click. To find out how Visor can help your school manage Chromebooks and to lock in 20% off, head over to visor.cloud/unboxed. That's visor.cloud/unboxed, or just click the link in the show notes. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. Gabe had an article pulled up. He's just dying to talk about it.
Oh, man, I'm jealous of your watch right now because I put my thing back. We filmed some B-roll on a Pixel Watch video we're doing, and I took my little bumper off there, and man.
Oh, is Joe going like commando over there?
I'm going.
God, it's so pretty.
I know, but man, that's.
I dropped mine on the face on the concrete at Topgolf the other
day. Oh, you have the thing on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dang, dude.
I mean, I dropped it like from waist high. I was going to pull it out of my pocket, and it fumbled, and it just went. Smacked the ground. I was like, it shattered. No way.
Have we looked into, are they making screen protectors that
Rinky makes one, and I would guess it's good. I bought some cheap ones
glass,
at first,
like,
and they were
because they can form the glass.
They're probably that soft touch, like wet apply type stuff, would be the only thing that would bend around that. A glass protector, unless they have some sort of rig, you know,
that
some of those phones that have the, like, you buy it and it comes with like a thing you put it in. to fit it. Yeah. It would have to have that. Like, can you imagine trying to fit glass, rounded glass on that perfectly?
Right. And like, if it had the cutouts for the crown, maybe that you could help. That could help. But that would
still
be tough.
Be a nightmare.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
Need a wet apply.
Yeah.
We try the Rinky ones.
Yeah, we should. We should try that. Make some short content from it. But yeah, I took off the, the matte black protector that I had on this one, which I do like, especially with the silicon band. It looks okay, but man, having this,
I know.
It's just nice. Like, it's nice. Speaking of hardware and Pixel stuff, let's talk about some new Pixel Fold news.
Seems like anyway.
Well,
I said I can just get up and leave? I can just get up
and leave. What's the scene in Elf when he's like,
I love that GIF.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the Pixel Fold.
What's been new, Andrew? I like your shirt.
I don't have the article pulled up. We haven't even written.
See, you weren't even ready.
So yeah. We're gonna write like new thing came out, screen giving size some of the specs. Well, the full dimensions of it.
Yeah,
I think that's the only new thing. It's a new render too.
Yeah, they have a new render, but it was still based off of everything else. But yeah, the screen size and dimensions.
Yeah, so I haven't even gotten into that yet. It kind of popped up right before this, and I was like, well, as soon as this is done, I'll dig into that and we'll write that article. So the specifics on it.
7.2. Some
first mention.
Was it in Discord?
Yeah, yes. It's in there.
With a hole punch.
None of that stuff's new. It's not that anybody didn't know that, but getting the actual dimensions on it will kind of be helpful, I think. It could feature a form factor similar to the Oppo Find N, which we've been saying that.
Yep.
which would put, let's see here. I'm no good with millimeters. 160 millimeters by 140 millimeters. 5.7 millimeters unfolded. I like that number. I know that number. So most phones are about 11 millimeters ish these days. We had phones go beneath that for a little bit, and then we figured out it was a little too thin, a little bit ridiculous. Somewhere around 11 millimeters, 10 millimeters is usually the thickness of most phones. This all right, is 5.7 millimeters.
All right, what was the screen? Or what was the first dimension?
That's the main dimension unfolded. 158.7 by 139.7 by 5.7.
So 6.22 inches screen on the 158. Oh. What is happening here? Oh, I'm getting...
Yeah, you're going to have to do some serious...
Getting a phone call here.
The device will also be slower than both. Chunky camera bump, so that even the camera bump's only 8 millimeters thick. That's not bad at all. Let's see. Here we go. Pixel Fold will pack a 7.69-inch foldable display. That's pretty cool because I'm pretty sure the Galaxy is 7.8 or something like that, 7.9, and it's a lot. It's taller. It's more of like a square display, which is super awkward for a lot of things. This is going to be more of a landscape type of design. And then 5.8-inch cover display. So that is right in line with the Pixel 5A, I think. 5A with 5G was the 6.2. I think it's Pixel 5. I think Pixel 5 was the smaller phone, right?
Google it real quick.
I want to say Pixel 5 is a 5.8-inch device. One of the Pixel A series or the Pixel 5, one of the two. And I remember maybe a 4A, but it has that smaller form factor, which was fine. It was like, I could rock this. I would be sad when it's time to watch a show, or I'd be sad when it's time to play a game. But for general, like, out and about, messaging, all that kind of stuff, it's fantastic. And so now it's like, cool, the outer display is like that petite-type phone. If it's only 5.7 millimeters?
7.95. Oh, the millimeters.
Thickness, 5.7. So it's only going to be 11.4 millimeters thick when it's closed up. So I bet you, if you look up this speaking case, I bet you it's right about that thickness. So closed up, it's not going to be much thicker than this. I'm like, come
yes.
on. Get out of here.
Give it to me now. Yeah.
So on the outside, you got this nice petite, you know, phone.
Like still very usable and not
right.
a candy
and
bar.
Not the candy bar, yep. And I remember I was talking to my sister-in-law about her and my brother-in-law both have used the Folds for the last like two iterations. And she was talking about how much they loved them and stuff. And this was like 6 months ago. And I was like, yeah, I tried, you know, and I liked a lot about it, but I did not like the Samsung software. I just like Pixel software on my phones, and I just couldn't get used to that screen on the outside. And what happened was, once I got past the first couple of the honeymoon days of opening it every
using
time,
it open all the time, yeah.
It came down to, like, I just need to get the normal stuff done. I want to pull this phone out, and put it away. Well, that outside screen is full screen, sure, but that phone is like a gold bar, basically, is what it feels like. It's a little thick because it doesn't close flat. It kind of closes like a wedge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tall, like tall and thin. And so that it's like 6-point-whatever inches screen size, but it's not really. Like, it's diagonal screen measurements jacked up if you keep stretching it.
Right.
You know, if the angle is bad, like, yeah, it's a 10-inch screen, but it's only an inch wide.
Exactly.
Like, it's no good. And, like, if it's the size of a ruler, that's still a 12-inch screen, right? I mean, that's no good. Nobody wants to use that. So that's kind of what it felt like. Everything's scrunched in. The keyboard's narrow, so it makes it feel small. So it's like typing on, like, the early, iPhone or something, like this tiny little thing. And so I couldn't get around to using it. And so it's like, this solves that. It solves, you know, the issues with Samsung software. Boom. What else do you want? I mean, it's gonna be expensive.
Yeah.
Don't be wrong. It's gonna be crazy expensive.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed, it shows up like T-Mobile and they have some trade in, and I can trade something in for it.
I'm gonna buy it one way or another.
Yeah, I really. I mean, they'll send us one, I'm sure. They're not going to send us three of those.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen.
We're going to be fighting over that one. All
dibs.
Right, Robbie, you get to drive it for the first game.
You guys heard dibs.
He called dibs.
What else are you going to do?
You can't argue with dibs.
Yeah, shotgun.
Like, we call a shotgun on the phone.
Yeah, that's second place.
Just anything. Yeah. I just want to reserve it.
Next.
Yeah. You get a third.
Yeah, okay, fine.
That's going to be a wild device to have around. Well, I think the right thing to do with it will be probably to sign in Chrome Unboxed at first and pass it around, and I don't know.
I can't wait.
I really hope they put a display out on it. They have not done that with Pixels. I hope that you can hook it up to an external monitor.
Yeah.
Because it's a productivity focused
device.
That's
one thing I missed, like, about my LG phones that I had. They all had that.
And OnePlus all had it.
Yeah, OnePlus had it too.
Plug it in. And like, with that nice screen size and stuff.
Absolutely.
It'll be a great little productivity machine. Especially Android has all these new desktop, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great on the desktop, but
it's workable. Yeah, if you were traveling and didn't want to, you know, lug a device around with your Chromebook with you. Take your phone and a monitor.
Or one day.
Rock and roll.
One day they'll just, you know, dual boot Chrome OS on it.
I guess if you're carrying around a monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse.
Perfect.
That's going to be
so much easier.
This is so much better than a Chromebook.
I hate having a Chromebook here. Yeah,
to lug a Chromebook on this trip.
So now you have to pack your unfolding keyboard.
Right, exactly.
We got one of those around here somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that. Uh-huh. Use the thing itself could be the trackpad.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And then, you know, your external screen.
I mean,
set it up on the airplane, like lickety-split.
Super easy.
Oh, yeah.
Super simple. as easy as, like, lifting the lid. I bet it's simpler.
Right. Similar to that.
Okay, so maybe display out's not. Yeah. Maybe it's stupid. I don't know.
I think it could still be cool. Like, and we've always talked about this, like, just the one device type thing. You know?
No. Don't get me started on that.
So, but was there one other article you wrote about some benchmarks?
That was
after last week's episode.
Yeah, that was earlier this week. Mm-hmm. I think Monday. It showed up on Geekbench 5. And all it did was affirm the fact that it's definitely Tensor 2.
Right.
So same cores, same speeds, and pretty close to the exact same scores you get on the 7 Pro. And that's not like a revelation or anything, but it is kind of cool to know that, you know, they're not going to try to cram Tensor 3 in this thing and then thus push it off into the fall. Like, this thing's been pushed back
or cheap out and put, because there was rumors OG that it was going to have the OG Tensor in it.
And have like low amounts of RAM.
Which would have been fine if they'd launched it this summer, but
yeah.
If it's not coming until May, no.
And I've been super happy with Tensor G2. No performance issues.
It's been great. Gaming's great.
It's been great. Haven't had any problems with it. And the benefit there is it'll also have, it's a three camera set up, assuming it's something similar to what we have, or maybe, you know, slight tweaks or whatever. But if the hardware is decent enough, that Tensor G2 is going to be able to do all the computational photography right. you need. So it's not like, oh, I got this cool folding phone and it does all kinds of cool things, but now I've got this kind of, you know, 2016 camera on here.
Lousy camera
like,
setup.
And that kind of was what Samsung did for a little while. The folds are getting better. Like, they're pretty good. But for that money, like, that it should be your best camera, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fold should be the best of all the things you got. And again, we don't know for sure what those cameras are going to be, but if they're going to charge $1,800 for it, I would hope it's...
Yeah, it should be what's in the
Put this camera array in there.
Put the 7 Pro camera set up in there and call it a day.
But yeah, I mean, the looks of it are just, I mean, it's gorgeous. And I love that it looks on brand. Like, it looks like a Pixel phone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and yeah, it doesn't have the bar all the way across, but it still has a big visor across the back. And I mean, I wouldn't hate it if the next Pixels adopted that sort of visor.
Because especially with a case on it, it looks real dope on a standard.
Yeah, it's really cool. Pretty sweet looking. Yeah. And it looks, looking at that picture too, and some of these other pictures, it's like, oh God, is that visor bar going to be really big? Remember that the total thickness of that phone there is, you know, 5.5 millimeters.
Yeah.
So,
it's
a little like that.
It's
very tiny.
Yeah. It's going to be a saucy phone. It's going to be expensive, like you said, but it's going to have its few little things, hopefully, that we'll, you know, have to deal with as kind of early adopters of their first run at this. But,
and I will say, like, what Google really needs to do with this particular device is they need to take advantage of some of the, well, the fact that, A, it's not going to sell like crazy. You're not going to have a ton of people with this phone.
But the Folds don't either. The Samsungs don't either. I mean, they're very niche.
They need to take advantage of that and offer, like Samsung did with the first Fold, and offer, like, white glove customer support for this.
Yep.
Like, that's people a great shouldn't idea. Be worried to death that they're going to buy an $1,800 phone from Google and it's not going to be supported, or they're not going to be able to find answers something, when they have problems.
Yeah. If they have a bug. Breaks,
like they did with the Pixelbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was so stupid. Yeah.
You know, like, you shouldn't pay that much money for a piece of hardware and then it not be supported by the people that made it.
Yep.
And I get Google's young and the hardware game and all that kind of stuff. But if you're going to take anything from Apple, I mean, obviously you probably should steal a lot of things from the way Apple does stuff. But if you're going to take anything.
Gosh, you got it. You're just throwing him a bone over here. here with his ultra hiking industrial watch. Whatever it's called.
I can't make him mad. He'll hit me with it.
I know. That thing's a weapon.
But we're referring to Andy Kim over here, just grinning. But, you know, to be fair, you know, like they obviously know hardware and do it well. And, you know, one of the reasons Apple got to where they are is because they've spent the dollars and the time in investing in customers and telling customers, like, hey, if you buy from us, we got your back. Like, we will take care of this. And I'm not saying they're perfect, but they're a lot better than most, and they're way better than Google is at this stuff. Yeah. So I think with this device specifically, they need to figure that out.
Are they offering, what sort of support are they offering in Google stores? Any?
None
like
that
if you
I'm
have
aware
an issue
of.
With your phone and you take it in there?
Like in New York?
Yeah, at the actual stores.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I wonder if that's something they could, you know, at the few locations they do have.
Because most of their stuff goes through You Break, I Fix or something like that. Because,
I mean, obviously the Genius Bar is if you go in there any time of the year, it's always booked up because people, you know.
Do they do hardware repairs at Genius Bars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you have, like,
and that's if Google is serious. Yeah.
Go to the Apple Store.
Not saying they need to do it right now, but if Google is going to be serious about staying in the hardware game and thriving, they are going to have to open more physical locations or they're going to have to partner with the Best Buys or whoever and have a dedicated team to work on these products.
Well, hell, Apple even has, you know, stores in Best Buys.
Yeah.
And we know from some internal stuff that was before COVID hit, they had some pretty big plans on having these Google stores basically the same way Apple's stores are. Like, they had worked out a thing with Best Buy and they were going to have those. And then that kind of fell through with COVID. And I don't know if they're going to pick that back up or not.
Should put them in Dollar Generals.
There you go.
Yeah. Have them every 9 miles.
Boom.
Yeah. Great. I would love to have one at the Priceless near my house.
Aldi, baby.
You just walk into the, you just walk into there and be like, do you guys have like the pop-up Google store
Big
here,
Lots. Or? At the Big Lots over by my house.
I need a new case for my Pixel.
I went in Big Lots the other day and got some good stuff. They got some good stuff.
Bro, if you're going
to make fun of people going to Big Lots when we were kids,
I love
we were
it.
Mean.
Yeah, you guys yeah. mean.
but now I'm like...
Dude,
I will say this now. If you need Christmas decor or stuff for lights and stuff like that, that is the place to go.
Even like,
My wife wanted the little foot button for the Christmas tree this year. So you just push it. They have a sea of that stuff.
That's right.
And we go in there the day after Christmas and you can buy it for nothing. They literally give it away.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I mean, Big Lots is the OG Marshalls TJ Maxx.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were doing it before it was cool.
They need to rebrand.
Know what their slogan is? Do you remember their slogan? It's Big Lots. Odd Lots. Big Lots, Odd Lots.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all odd lot stuff they get from other places.
I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that?
Well, when I was a kid, I thought...
Drive through the parking lot, the semi that's sitting in the parking lot, it should say Big Lot, Odd Lot.
I used to think when I was a kid that they had another store called Odd Lots.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
That's the way the marketing worked for me.
If you want to go...
We got Big Lots. It's kind of like Carl's Jr.
So Big Lots is like very, very white label, very, very saltine. Then have you been in Ollie's?
Yeah,
Ollie's is like the jungle gym of Big Lots.
Ollie's,
you have no idea what you're going to find in that place.
My nightmare.
I hate that. Have you been to the one in Louisville?
I've not.
It's much better.
Okay.
One Ratcliffe is.
TJ Maxx and Marshalls push me a little too.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
I can do Marshalls.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go, if I go to TJ Maxx,
stuff in here.
If I go to TJ Maxx, I'm going to one of the TJ Maxx Home Goods. Those are nice.
Home Goods are okay too, but it's the same thing. It's just like, it's just so much weird. Like it didn't.
Yeah,
I like going to a store and be like, here's where my thing is, and I'm gonna get it and I'm gonna buy it.
But we said this the other day though. You don't go to TJ Maxx with the intention of buying a specific thing.
That's why I literally haven't walked into TJ Maxx. I bought my luggage I took to Florida.
I bought luggage there.
Remember that was like 2017.
Yeah,
that's the last time I walked into TJ Maxx.
Yeah, my wife and her mom, my mother-in-law, would go there every day if they could.
Yeah,
my wife's like, I'll go look at Ross. I'm like, have fun.
Yeah, it's for those who like shopping
Ross.
Around for sure.
And when she finds stuff, she finds some cool stuff. I'm like, where'd you get that? She's like, Ross.
Because that's why I'm like, honey, would you like to take $500? We'll go to Ross and TJ Maxx, and we'll put some stuff on Amazon store and make some money. She's like, I really wanted this. I'm like, no, see, that's why we can't go there. We're not there to buy stuff.
Oh yeah.
They're just self-stuff.
Disjointed. I can't handle it.
Okay, let's talk enough about TJ Maxx and our thoughts on Ross. Let's talk about 108, and then we'll wrap up with the Fortnite stuff because I think it's cool.
Fortnite.
So Chrome OS 108, last of the year.
Yeah.
I thought your title was nice.
Thank you.
It's a good title.
Yeah. Last update of 2022. Mm. Hurrah. So, and honestly, we weren't really expecting a whole lot.
I'm curious when the next update's
going to be. Yeah, so when Chrome 108 came out, it had a few
What if there's going to be one more and Gabe lied?
No, I checked.
I was going to say, okay. I checked
calendar. It's mid or late January, I think. It might be February. No, it's mid or late January. I don't know. Anyway, Chrome 108 came out. Pretty thin on features, so didn't really expect a whole lot from Chrome OS 108. I started writing the article, and then I waited, and then I'm glad I waited because our Google rep sent us an email for major updates, they're going to try to get them on the keyword. He said for everything else, they're going to put them on the Chrome OS community, the official Google community. So they'll put an update there. And he sent me a link to that update. And this one actually has quite a bit of stuff in it. So the trash can, how long do you think we've been tracking the trash can?
Gosh.
Just off the top of my head, I'm going to say 14 months.
2 years and a month.
Yeah. My gut really wanted to say 18 months. Yeah. It's like, that's too round. I got to go up or down. I'm going down.
It was October of 2020 when we first started tracking it. And honestly, for me, I've always argued that it's not that big of a deal. I don't care. I don't use Windows devices. I don't use trash cans. And I live in the cloud. I keep my stuff. Matter of fact, right now, my default download is Google Drive. I don't use default download as the download on there. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. Plus, if you delete a file, it prompts you before it lets you delete it. It's a double, what do they call that? It's a fail safe. It has a fail safe.
Yeah.
You know. But apparently a lot of people have wanted it and they've worked on it for quite a while. So now there is a trash can. When you delete a file, it will go to the trash can so you can recover it. Or after 30 days, it will be deleted automatically. So I don't know.
If you delete it the second time, it's your fault.
Yeah, that's on you.
It's gone. So
that's on you.
My only lost files ever happen when I'm like, ah, I can power wash this Chromebook.
That's when I lose stuff.
Power wash, I'm like, oh, yeah. Man, that design I was working on.
Yeah. So this one I thought was really cool, which I'm surprised I hadn't seen this already because I'm usually in like the dev channel or Canary. But last month was Native American History Month and they did a Google Doodle with the stickball thing. Well, they've added 20 Native American artist wallpapers, and I actually have one on my device right now because they look really, really cool.
Yeah, there's a couple really cool ones.
I got the if you're looking for it, it's called Constellation Mix Artwork by Noah Lee, who is a member of the Native American Navajo Dine or Dine tribe.
I don't know.
It's one of those. Anyway, this one, for some reason, I thought was already a thing, but apparently it wasn't. Multi-page document scanning, which a lot of people make kind of a big deal about this, but I just don't see a lot of people walking around scanning documents with their laptop.
So I saw it, and I was like, I'm going to try it. Because it works. Never done it.
Yeah.
It does work, but you have to hold the document.
Yes.
With a front-facing camera. I'm like, where are you going to put it? So my thumb's in every document.
Yeah.
Or my fingers. Because you can't hold a piece of paper by the edges. So how do I position the paper to scan it?
Well, with like if you have an external, I did it with my external webcam,
and that's probably
held
the
it
point.
And that works. Or you have devices that have a front facing camera.
That's what it's for.
And I'm thinking about teachers too, because that was one of the tricks. One of the interviews that I did, they were talking about having an external webcam like that, and especially when you're like if you're doing presentations, you're showing kids, it's kind of like a easy way to have that top-down shot and then also scanning
it. It does do a good job of finding corners and edges.
Which is, like it's mind-blowing because I don't understand why. Like,
just picturing Robbie trying to hold his piece of paper.
Yeah. Oh, stop bowing.
Like, I don't understand, as good as Google has gotten at scanning documents and stuff, why they can't fix document scan in Google Drive when you try to scan something with your phone.
Like where it misses edges.
Oh, it's horrible. It misses everything. It's just, it'll
like
be
I put
sideways.
It on a perfectly dark background, and it's like, how did you miss that?
It does okay with dark background, but it's
really bad.
You know, it would really help with any of these document scanners. Google needs to implement the same little accelerometer thing they do with their camera. So when I go to take a photo of something, there's that little thing that shows up and shows me whether I'm level or not.
Yeah.
It's one of the most insanely helpful. I mean, it does it on your regular shots too. Like, and you feel the haptics move to tell you, hey, you're level.
Yeah,
I love that so much, and I love that when you're facing down, it gives you the circular one.
Yeah, which is nice.
If they would do that with document scanning, you know, much more squarer your stuff would be if your phone was square.
And you have some apps where like you have to scan like your ID or your or if you're just scanning your debit card or whatever, the little corners, it'll find it, and once you get it in there, it just locks on it and takes that picture. So you don't even have to, all you have to do is try to get it as square as you can, and then it'll take it. Or when you're scanning a check or whatever. Anyways, multi-page document scan. So document scanning was already in there, but now if you go to the camera app and click scan and you scan a document, once it's done, there's a plus button. You can add subsequent documents and it will create a multi-page single PDF.
Yeah.
So,
which is pretty sweet.
And you're right. For teachers, I could imagine that would be very, very useful.
Yeah. So. Or like enterprise stuff where you're scanning in a bunch of stuff. Like, it's just one of those things. It's like we might not be something we hardly ever use, but for that person that needs it, that's a very
nice
feature to have.
This one, most people probably don't think about. I do because it's just one of those nagging things I noticed. They said they have made some captive portal improvements. If you're out and about a lot at Starbucks or wherever and you have a captive, for those that don't know, a captive portal is when you jump on a public Wi-Fi and it forces you to go to a login page before you can actually access the internet, hotels, Starbucks, wherever. Chrome OS handles those really wonky sometimes. Sometimes it'll automatically pop up the page where you log in. Sometimes it'll pop up a toast notification that says, click here. You may need to click here or whatever to connect. Sometimes it won't do anything and you'll just have a little exclamation point and you're like, why is the internet not working? Says they've made improvements as far as stability on the connections and clear notifications on what you need to do to connect. So that's just one of those little quality of life things that's like, this makes it feel a little more mature.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then updated virtual keyboard, which I don't ever use.
They like rounded the tops and then they pushed some of the shortcuts to the
They've made the shortcuts a little more accessible for like handwriting tools and things like that. So if you use a virtual keyboard, this is probably like a huge welcome addition.
It does look like in Landscape 2, they made the keyboard itself smaller.
A little tighter. Yeah.
Because it's like on, say, like the Duet 5.
It's weird and wonky.
You can't reach with your thumb. So it's like you got to set it down and then poke at it. Like
you might as well have a keyboard.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's it. That's about, there's a few other things, that they added to Chrome 108, which should come with this. Like, they have the newer generation of high res emojis and it will now work in Chrome and just little things like that. And then a bunch of bug fixes, but yeah, that's about it. But my whole shtick in my post about Chrome OS 108 was that it might feel a little light on features, but it's the end of the year and they're ramping up for 2023, which is going to have Steam gaming.
Yeah,
they're working on these video conferencing tools, which I'm thinking more and more that these video conferencing tools are going to be integrated. They're going to work with any major video chat platform. Right. So if you open a Zoom window and you're in a call, those tools are going to pop up on your shelf. You can blur your background, you can mute your, you can share your screen, all that stuff. What else were we talking about? Esh should be along sometime.
So that's mirroring your phone, like your notifications and stuff. So that when a notification comes in, instead of just popping it up, if you go to interact, it's going to show your phone screen down there.
Right. So it's essentially mirroring your display for specific. It's really only going to be for chat apps, right? From what I understand.
Yeah. And it'll only be for specific applications. Yeah.
And then, see, glanceable widgets should be coming along sometime soon.
That showed up, what was it, a few months ago, that those showed up and they were still a little broken and stuff. Like, feels like we're getting closer. I found something the other day that shows something else they're adding to the calendar. You know, they're working on it. They're wanting to make those little widgets on your lock screen a little more usable and actionable, glanceable type stuff that you can, you know, keep your Chromebook on, keep it locked, and be able to glance over at it and see something and take action on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the one other thing that did come in 108. It is still behind a flag, and you can find those flags in the article, but they're worth turning on. So there is a battery saver mode, energy saver mode, and a memory saving mode. So the batteries or the energy saving mode, you can set it to... It throttles down like background. It does all of that either when you drop below 20% battery or when you take it off the charger. You can enable those two settings separately. But that's a big deal because Windows kind of has that built into the OS. Chrome OS doesn't really have that energy saving mode. But being how, you know, Chrome OS is built around Chrome anyway, that's very useful. So
yeah, that's going to handle the majority of the power.
Yeah, you can enable those flags, and then you can set those options to enable when you want them to. And then the memory saver.
They've been talking about that for a little while, where it basically kills processes in background tabs.
Right. So you can kill process in background tabs, and then you can also, I think you also have the option to, like, if there's one specific site you never want memory saver to apply to, you can say, you know, turn it off for this site, so it'll never turn on. So but those flags are there and you can turn them on now, and they seem to be working just fine. You don't have to worry about them being buggy or anything. So
I've got those few new little at search things too up in the
shortcuts.
I forget what they are now. I think you can, so tabs,
Did we write an article? I thought I saw that.
No, yeah. I wrote it.
Or you did.
But I don't remember what they are.
Yeah.
I don't use stuff like that.
Yeah.
Generally. But it's kind of cool. I'm like, stuff like that is stuff that I'm like, man, I don't find a particular use for it. But there might come a time where I'd use it once and then realize, oh, this is handy, and then start thinking about that. Like, I just don't think about searching for stuff.
Yeah, because the Omnibar on Chrome has a lot of really cool stuff. And if I were in a job where I did a lot more like research or different things like that, I would probably use it a lot more. But it has a lot of really awesome tools. Now you got me curious.
I had it open and then I closed it.
And then
apparently,
and then I closed remember,
I know
it.
I know it's tabs is the one main one, and that's why I was like, once I get like 8 tabs open, I'm already cleaning.
Right,
I'm bringing it back down. Yeah. So, but there's people that use tab groups and have tabs and tabs and tabs and tabs and tabs open. When you do at tabs space, you could search for whatever, and it's only going to search across your tabs. Like, and it's going to search the page content and everything. So you can find the tab you want to go to. Click there. It's going to open that tab. Super helpful if you use lots of tabs. Let me see if I can find
it. I can't find it. I'm looking and I don't see it.
Well, we'll find it. Make sure
I got it right here. Oh, nice. Let's see.
It's going to say click in the back end and click on your authors.
Oh, whoops. That's the wrong app. Or wrong post. Daggone it. Simplify.
Just
I thought I wrote it. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, there's we'll find it link
in the
it.
Show in the show notes. But there's just a couple, and it's yeah. tab groups and gosh dang it, I cannot remember.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking like, did I write that? We write a lot of content.
Someone wrote it.
We write a lot of articles. It was talked about at least.
I did because the other thing in 108, it's super small, but it's really cool, is PWAs.
Oh yeah.
When like Twitter or WhatsApp or whatever. Even if you just have it shortcutted, basically, it's not technically a PWA.
Installed.
If you have it installed or set as a shortcut to open a window, if you go to that website now, there's a very clear graphic thing up there. It's open in, and you can click it, and a little box pops down, and you get to choose where you want to open that site in. That's pretty cool. It's just giving more glanceable notifications to people to see like, hey, there's a PWA for this. If you want to install this, like there's a way you can install this and use it on the desktop. And
yeah,
so cool little touch there too.
Yeah.
So that's the URL thing I wrote.
I don't know if you maybe
I'm
didn't write
sure
the other
I wrote
one.
The other one.
The other one was Someone talked did. About. I know for sure.
Tabs bookmark. It's right here. Why didn't I?
Who wrote it? Did I write it?
No. What is it? Tabs, bookmarks, and search history.
Yeah,
Michael wrote it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I was right.
I know. Hey, I was.
Could you play that back? Court report. Court reporter. No, I'm just
red flag. Have you seen those challenge flag commercials?
Yeah. So at tabs, at history, at bookmarks. Okay, that's
nice.
Cool. Oh, you know what? I remember getting the email on the. There was an embargo email, and then Michael and I chatted about it, and he wrote it.
I was gonna say, like, I know there was discussion around
this.
It, but.
I wrote this.
Yeah.
I'm over here like, I know I read it. Maybe I read it on Android Points.
I think I read it.
It's the rain. Let's blame everything on the rain.
I think we wrote it. Yeah. I think I wrote it.
That would be
it.
A cool that. Song, Blame It on the Rain.
Oh, yeah. Okay, last thing. You can do a hot take if you want or just a regular take. I don't care.
Hot take.
Some cool updates to Fortnite and GeForce Now. Leveraging.
Yeah, so Unreal Engine 5.1 showed up with Fortnite Season 4, and I'm up on all this because I play the game all... Not really. My kids play the
I'm
game
I'm an avid
time.
Getting now.
My daughter specifically plays a lot. Her and her friends play. It's a great way for her to connect with some friends that she doesn't get to go to school with anymore because they go to different middle schools now. And so she plays it, and it's something her and I get to play too.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, like, I would play with her on my iPad a lot because it was pretty good on iPad. It ran pretty well, and you had gyro, and it was like, cool, I can play, and I can feel pretty competitive in here. And the cool thing about Fortnite is Fortnite's Fortnite. There is no Fortnite mobile. It's everybody plays together.
Are you a builder?
No.
Yeah. I don't get it. That freaks me out. I can't play with those people.
And so my daughter builds the way I would like to. Like, if I played that game more, that's how I would do it. She only builds to get herself somewhere, or if she's taking fire immediately.
Defensive. Yeah.
A little thing. She'll pop up, walls and a ramp around her real fast. But that's about it. And it is smart because it allows you just enough time to figure out where the gunfire is coming from and what to do and to plan an escape route. I would like to learn that. My goal is one day to learn that, but I'm no good at that now. I don't even think about it. When somebody's shooting at me, my first time, I'm shooting back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to move. And
that's because we play Battle Royale games right. all the time.
And so, like, I just go into that mode. But, anywho, so she plays it a lot. And so last night, she was like, have you seen the new updates and the graphics? And she plays on Switch. And it does look better on Switch, but... they obviously can't take advantage of everything they've done with this new Unreal Engine stuff. And so PC, Xbox One X, and PlayStation 5, I think, are the only ones that get all of these upgrades. And boy, oh boy, it's a lot of upgrades. I mean, there's if you search the internet right now, while I'm talking about this, you run a search real fast if you want to for Fortnite Season 4 best looking game. And there's tons of gaming outlets being like, is Fortnite like the best looking game you can buy or play right now? Like, this is ridiculous. And I mean, it's all these small touches. It's the way the light comes off the sun. Cause in Fortnite, the sun kind of passes over through your round. So it's dark sometimes and it's dusk and it's morning and all that kind of stuff. And so like I was showing her, I plugged in my Acer, the 516 GE, to our 4K television and was playing GeForce Now and letting her play with a controller. So she's sitting back and playing just like she normally would, except it's in full resolution and she's getting all of the graphics. And so she just kept stopping and looking and like, wow, look at that. I mean, and it was just,
and then she
gorgeous
died.
Stuff. Like, and like then, the way the light would reflect off like ice and in these different spots. And she got to the top of this hill and the sun was setting and it's all that ray tracing stuff and, you know, all the way the light affects everything. And it is so gorgeous of a game now. And it was so cool that I was able to show that to her on a Chromebook.
Right.
Like, hey, put your gaming device down. Let me get my Chromebook out and show you what this technically can look like. And, you know, first she was like, oh, okay, I'll look at it. And when she saw it, it was like, oh, my God. And so she got done with that match, and I was like, I'll show you one more thing. And so I unplugged it and just set the Chromebook in her lap. So she, because my TV is not 120. It probably is, like, advertised at 120 hertz. But for actual gaming and stuff, it registered at 60. And so she got to see the 120 hertz with the, you know, quad HD right there in her face and with the controller. And it is just, man, it's something to look at. I tell you, it's really beautiful. And to see it not just work really well, like it runs, I put a post up on how you can do this. Like there's some settings you got to do. You got to let it reset Fortnite. And then once you turn it off and you go to your next rig, because you're not going to log into the same rig next time, you're going to have to do it again for right now. My guess is for the RTX 3080 account holding people, because it runs perfectly fine there, they're probably just waiting to see how it's going to work before they go turn that on for everybody. That'll just be because you
default.
You can let GeForce Now set your settings. And so when I logged in after this update, I was like, I mean, it looks good. I think Fortnite's looked good on GeForce Now for a while. And I was like, I don't see a huge difference, because Josh here in the office was like, have you looked at Fortnite lately? And I was like, I've been reading stuff, but let me look. And I was like, I don't know. And so then I looked it up, and a guy showed, like, on GeForce Now, here's how you can get these settings. So you do a couple things, it restarts, and then you can turn on everything. And I was like, it's going to drag and probably not going to be that great.
You should do a short on this.
Not any problem at all. Like,
yeah.
And the guy in the video turned everything up to like high. I was like, well, screw it. If we're going to do it, let's do it. So I turned everything up to epic. No problem. Wow. It just ran at 120 frames. And it's just like it's almost distracting at this point. Like, it's so gorgeous. Like, you just find yourself looking at it. Like, oh God, I'm supposed to be shooting people. Like, I forgot what I was doing. Like, it's beautiful. Just a beautiful game. And then just this really cool example of, like, people that want to hate on cloud gaming, that's fine. You know, do whatever. It's not for everybody. But for someone like me who doesn't want to go buy a $2,000 gaming device, I don't want to spend, you know, we've got a couple Switches and a Oculus or whatever, Meta Quest 2. Those are, like, the kids love gaming on those things. I don't want to go spend $600 or $700 and have to hunt down an Xbox and buy some extra controllers and all the stuff for my kids to play Fortnite on, because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to go play a bunch of games. They're going to play Fortnite on it. And so it's like, well, that seems really silly, especially when I could pay $20 a month and here's your Chromebook and you could play Fortnite as long as you're at home and, you know, on a decent connection.
Right.
Play Fortnite wherever you want to. I mean, heck, you can play it on your phone now with GeForce Now. It's got all the touch controls just like Android did. So it's not just like on-screen random touch controls. Like, they worked with it. Ones, it's the Android touch controls that you can edit like mobile. It's super crazy. But you can get all the benefits of the high-res cool stuff that you're getting on, you know, on a PC. Cool update, and cool that right now the best tool I've got to take advantage of, it's a Chromebook.
Yeah.
And any Chromebook would look great with it. It really would.
Will it work on our Chromecast? I can't remember.
I haven't tried GeForce Now in a little bit.
It works on the Shield, obviously. But
yeah, there's an app. The only problem I ever had with it was there was lag in the controller input.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, every time I tested it, there was lag. And I'm like, well, until that's gone, this is not a thing.
Let me use one of my four Stadia controllers on GeForce Now and get rid of the lag.
On your Chromebook, you can just plug the USB-C in and use it just fine. Yeah. Yeah, it works great. They need to do some sort of firmware update over USB-C and basically unlock the Bluetooth mode.
Yeah, which there's been talk about it, but Google hasn't said anything about it.
They should do that instead of making
Google's like, we gave you your money back. Yeah. We're done.
Yeah, these are environmentally, like, this is one.
They're trash.
One wired controller now.
Right, but you can make one software change and probably coax people, because it's a great controller, and coax people really into keeping it, and using it. And so I did use it the other day for a gaming session at home. I was like, I don't have a controller, and I'm forcing myself to use controllers. I'm trying to make myself learn. So yeah. I went up to Landon's bedroom and grabbed his Stadia remote, and I was like, I hope this works, and plug the USB-C in, and worked just fine.
Yeah.
So it's I think I'm going to throw one in my bag and just let that be with a C controller, let that just kind of be my controller, because when I play at home, I set the Chromebook in my lap and hold the controller.
Are the steps concise enough that we could do this in a short?
Yeah, it would take a little bit more editing.
Yeah,
but that's fine. Yeah. It's pretty
short. I was just gonna say, let's do that, and we'll put it out, and that way we can link to it. So if people want to see the steps and see how to do this, and we can show a little bit of gameplay, that could be a cool little short form video. So we'll make sure to link that. But yeah. Very cool stuff, and I don't play many games, but I even was like looking at it, like it's the water, the reflections on the water and stuff. Yeah, now I was like, oh my god,
the water reflects the actual land around you.
Like, oh yeah,
Sydney got into like a bathroom and had like kind of messed up mirror, like like an old mirror would be, like if it was almost just more metallic than glass.
Yeah,
and like it had that look to it, and the reflection of her character, even when she was doing like an emote in it, like.
Wow. It's cool.
How are you rendering all of this stuff in real time? Like,
it's unreal.
Yeah, like an engine of unreal.
Wow.
Like a whole engine running unreal stuff.
Right. It's pretty
so
incredible.
Unreal.
It's
like so an unreal. Engine of unreal.
It's an engine of unreal.
Is our
amazingness.
Is it unreal? We need it.
What is it?
No, TGC is not an unreal.
It's one of them. When it loads up, it's one of the engines.
I feel like I've seen it on one of the loading screens.
What are the other engines?
Ask Mike.
Anywho. All right, folks. I think that's it for today.
We know so much about games.
We know so much. We're such good
gamers.
It's
a rotary engine from Mazda.
That's right. We appreciate you all tuning in, watching, and listening. If you are watching, make sure to give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, kick the notification bell down there. Kick. Did I say click or kick?
I think it's a kick.
I think I said kick.
Dung.
Kick it.
Make sure you make the Taco Bell sound when you do it.
Dang.
Dung.
Yep. All right.
There you go.
That's all we got.
It's rainy.
That's all we got. We'll see you all next week. Bye. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunboxed.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.